Nehemiah's prayer. Today's message title is Nehemiah's prayer. Good morning. I would like to thank God for giving me the joy of offering the fourth Sunday service of this morning with my beloved brothers and sisters. It's been about a year since I've stood on this platform, but standing before the Lord with the word is something that I feel both fear and gratitude for. I know I'm not very good at it, but I only have one opportunity a year to share the word with you. So I spent a lot of time deciding on the theme from my message. As a result, the word of Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11 were given to me. Nehemiah chapter 1 is the prayer of Nehemiah, who had been waiting for the day when he could return to his hometown Jerusalem for about 140 years. Through today's words, let's think together about what we, as saved people, and the church, the body of Christ, should do as a matter of priority in this time when we are running into a dark and uncertain future due to various challenges. There are 9 parts as Nehemiah's prayer, but today let's read at verse 11. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. As you know, Nehemiah is a descendant of the Israelites who were captured from Judah as captives of the Babylonian Empire. And he is the minister of wine before King Artaxerxes of the Persian Empire. His position was unusual, but he is an ordinary man with little political authority. However, he had great influence because he was trusted by the king, and after he returned to Jerusalem with God's guidance, he would become the governor of Judah. Here, for your better understanding, I would like to briefly introduce the history in the Old Testament of the Israelites, the descendants of Abram, who were chosen by God to restore the kingdom of God. In the beginning, during the creation period, God saw that the intentions of human beings made in his image always tended toward evil, so he judged all human beings with a flood except for Noah's family, who were doing the Lord's will. Still, the proud human built the Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves instead of the Lord. In response, God confuses man's languages and scattered the people who were living together all over the earth. God sovereignly calls Abram, who had believed in God, and makes a covenant with him to restore the kingdom of God. As a result, the Israelites enter the age of chiefs connected to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And in God's providence, Jacob's family enters Canaan, the promised land, as the Israelites. However, the Israelites disobeyed God's law and became familiar with Canaanite custom of idolatry and entered the period of judges, which was ruled by 12 judges for about 400 years. Then about 1,000 years after the covenant with Abram was made, the time of United Kingdom came when Saul, David, and Solomon ruled the land. However, the kingdom of Israel, which continued to commit the sin of idolatry, fell into a period of divided kingdoms, dividing into southern Judah and northern Israel. After that, despite the warnings of many prophets sent by God, northern Israel was destroyed by Assyria, and southern Judah was destroyed by Babylon, closing the curtain on the 470-year history of the Kingdom of Israel. As a result, a part of Israelites will become a diaspora and fall into a position wandering here and there in the world. However, God planned to fully restore the kingdom of God will proceed toward that day without slightest hesitation. As a result, the Israelites went through 4 captivity periods in Babylonian Empire and 3 captivity return periods by Cyrus and Artaxerxes, kings of Persian Empire, back to Jerusalem. On the other hand, such a return of Israelites to captivity is the result of the fulfillment of what was foretold through the two prophets, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please." He will say of Jerusalem, "Let it be rebuilt," and of the temple, "Let its foundation be laid." And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, "This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." Returning to today's text, the prayer of Nehemiah that we read earlier is the prayer he offered when he heard about the situation in Jerusalem from Nehemiah's brother, Hanani. Nehemiah was slave of Persian Empire, but he was also descendant of Jews, whose love for Jerusalem was stronger than anyone else. So, as soon as he heard about the hardship and humiliation of remaining people in Jerusalem, and that the walls of Jerusalem were still ruins, even though the temple had been rebuilt 70 years earlier, Nehemiah began to pray. The story of this time is recorded in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." This kind of prayer of Nehemiah can be felt in Psalm 137, the Song of Sorrow of Jews in Babylonian captivity. "By the river of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded song of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the song of the Lord while in the foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy." Yes, Nehemiah's prayer is the very image of a praying man who is filled with regret and sorrow, repenting of his sins. It is also a humble attitude that accepts the fact that the fall of Jerusalem and its abandonment is God's judgment on Israel's sin. So, what is our attitude toward prayer? If you do not fall to your knees and pray when your beloved brother and sisters or your homeland is in danger, then you are probably not practicing the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. Also, a believer who does not pray at such a time is probably one who has given in to the work of Satan, who will use any means to thwart his prayers. Nehemiah, however, prayed for about 5 months after he heard that his beloved brothers and sisters were in great difficulty and disgrace, and in front of his king. He heard Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2 words he heard. So king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." Prayer seems to be an innate human behavior that is done to receive God's mercy and justice in our daily lives. However, prayer is not easy action without absolute trust in God and one's patience. This is because prayer, when accompanied by true faith and courage, is spiritual and physical labor and a battle. Moreover, in some cases, it is necessary to have an audacity to never stop praying until you receive a reasonable response from God. Especially in the case of the Israelites, who were chosen by God, the Almighty Father, to unilaterally enter into a covenant of blessing and who received apparently conflicting answers based on their obedience and disobedience to the Lord. Prayer seems to have been an indispensable part of their daily lifestyle. Therefore, the Bible is a book that contains God's unfathomable mercy and the righteous answers to the prayers of repentance for the sins of human beings who have disobeyed his word. In today's verse, Nehemiah prays as Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep him commandments. This emphasizes God's faithfulness to Israel, along with his cosmic ability. And this is also mindset drawn from the words of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Moreover, this is the point of faith of Israelites and the idea of Deuteronomy. In other words, based on this foundation of faith, Nehemiah is praising God and expecting a definite answer to his prayer. Then in verse 6, Nehemiah's prayer confesses his sin as follows. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servant, the people of Israel. I confess that since we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. This indicates that Nehemiah's view of the fate of Jerusalem is based on Deuteronomy's interpretation, namely the commandment of Moses that obedience to the God's word would bring prosperity, while disobedience would result in suffering and scattering throughout the world. Furthermore, there is no condemnation in this prayer against Babylon, the invader who took the children of Israel captive, or against God for not delivering them from their enemies. So, in other words, this is an attitude that recognizes that God's judgment for the destruction of Jerusalem is just and righteous. A prayer offered by the prophet Daniel, who was captive of the Babylonian Empire prior Nehemiah. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. Daniel chapter 9, verse 5 through 6. And as a leader, Ezra offered a following intercessory prayer for repentance. From the days of our ancestors until now, our guilt has been great because of our sins. We and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings, as it is today. Ezra chapter 9, verse 7. While confessing the sins of the Israelites, Ezra earnestly seeks God's mercy and justice. Let's look back at our past prayers for salvation through the atonement of the cross. How would we have reacted if we were faced with a sudden and unexpected hardship? Perhaps many of us have been preoccupied with searching for reasons why such hardship came to me, my beloved family, or those people. And have you lost time and fever to pray because of this foolish behavior? In addition, have you ever lost your faith and trust in God, which is so important, and felt lonely away from the world, from the fellowship of the saints, and from the service of the church? If we have, then we have been threatened by the work of Satan to keep us from coming to God. As we know, it is the purpose of creation that God wants to be glorified through us, his creature. Therefore, it seems to me that we believers should pray constantly for the glory of God, no matter what our circumstances are, just with gratitude and joy, expecting mercy and justice. This is because the Bible contains many reasons why we should have such an attitude as believers. One of them is Psalm 121. This is confession of faith sung by believers as they ascend the city to the temple in Jerusalem to offer worship. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and doing, both now and forevermore. Words like this give great comfort and hope to weak believers like us, who have various problems and are praying for answers from God. On the other hand, Nehemiah's prayer changes direction in verse 8, asking us to remember the words he commanded his servant Moses. The words of command to Moses here as recorded in later half of verse 8 and verse 9. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. This is the word of God. This is truly prayer that translates God's pattern of judgment and restoration, that is justice and mercy for the children of Israel into their exile from Jerusalem and return from captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, your nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd, just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy and bring disaster. So I watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. It is said that there are two words in the Hebrew Bible that are used only for God and not for human beings. They are charity and justice, mercy and righteousness are two of God's identities, and there are many references to them in the Bible. One of them is in Exodus chapter 32. One of them is where God's mercy is shown in response to the intercessory prayers of children of Israel who worship the golden calf made by man, seeking forgiveness for their sins. Returning to the text again, in verse 10, Nehemiah makes the case that those who are waiting for God's mercy and justice are those who are left in Jerusalem in trouble and shame. He also asserts that these are your servants, your people, redeemed by your great and powerful hand. And in the end of 11, verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. He called God as Lord. He breathes God. He answers his prayer. And this prayer is not only for him, but also whole of Israelites. The point of Nehemiah's prayer was to focus this in God's mind so that God would receive glory from us, his creatures, through the manifestation of his eternal power. Thus, the prayer that Nehemiah offered was a seeking, a searching, a knocking action toward Almighty God. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, he said, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." This is secret of the prayer. And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told the parable of the widow who came in, who came before the judges, who did not fear God and did not regard people as people, and cried out, "Protect me by judging those who accuse me." This is Jesus' promise that he will not leave the prayer of weak people like us, who cry out to him day and night unanswered. By the way, in Tsujiura Megumi Church, prayer requests for prayer support service are issued every 2 months. This is a sign that the church, a faith community of love, is supported by your prayers. On the other hand, for the past 2 years, the pastoral staff and board members have been taking turns praying the fasting chain prayer every day. Since I was allowed to join the groups in September 2020, I have been able to pray 37 times and feel blessed to be a part of the faith community of love. I confess that the fasting was a burden for me each time. However, in retrospect, I think I was fulfilling my basic responsibility as a believer to God, to the church, and above all, to the members of the church who love and serve with me, even if it was only a little. Today, we are in the fourth week of the year 2022, and the world is still in the dark, with no end in sight. So the people of the world are feeling all kinds of fear about the future of our planet. It seems to me that such an era has come about as a result of pride of human beings who have sought only material wealth. It is said that our true service to God as saved people is twofold. The first is to talk to God of mercy and justice, that is to pray. The second is to walk with God in times of trouble and adversity, trusting in Him, His mercy and righteousness. Today, we are, and God in heaven is love. If there is no love in our hearts, prayers will not come from the depth of our hearts. Therefore, if those who are loved by God do not pray, the Spirit Himself will intercede with unspoken groans. As you know, the verse that Tsujiura Megumi Church received from God this year is, "Love one another fervently. Let's join together and pray for intercession 365 days a year that God's glory will be abundantly manifested in our homes, our neighbors, our churches, and our communities by loving one another fervently. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we were able to share the prayer of Nehemiah with my beloved brothers and sisters. He was saddened to hear that people left behind in his hometown were in trouble, and he prayed. He God heard Nehemiah's intercessory prayers and answered it. We thank God for your mercy and nobility. We live in a world of darkness and confusion, not knowing what to do. Our children are placed in a position where they have to live in an even dirtier world. We are worried about our beloved future generations. Please bless us that God will change this dark world into a bright and a hopeful one, and that our beloved children will be able to live abundantly while loving each other. In our mercy, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.